Hey, Stan, I was on my computer at work and saw that you have a Facebook page now.
Yeah, Dad, I was kind of forced to.
Well, so are you going to add me as a friend?
No, Dad, I really don't want to get more into it.
Oh, okay. So I'm not your friend then?
Dad, you are my friend.
But you just don't want to add me as a friend.
Dad, it's just a stupid click of a button that takes 2 seconds.
Right, but you don't have the 2 seconds, or...
I just want to do my homework.
All right, fine. Just to be clear, you and I are not friends.
All right, Dad, I'll add you.
Oh, cool, okay.
Hey everybody, welcome to episode 38 of The Geek Generation. I am here as usual, as is Brian. How you doing, Brian?
Good, how are you?
I'm great. We have a really big episode, as usual. And this week we're going to be doing our usual stuff, geek outs, freak outs. We have some listener emails to go over, finally, yay! And after we do the news, we'll take a quick break, and then Brian and I have our big summer movie preview for you, which is pretty much kicking off next week already.
Yeah, it's a big, probably the biggest summer of big time movie. Well, I shouldn't say that, but it seems like a huge, every summer seems huge, but this one seems especially huge for some reason. I mean, it's because of all the, you know, we'll get into it, but a lot of big movies, so.
Yeah, at least in the superhero realm.
Exactly, exactly.
All right, well then, without wasting any time, let's jump right into geek outs.
Yay!
What are you geeking out over this week, Brian?
Surprisingly, I'm kind of geeking out over X-Men First Class, and now I was very apprehensive about this movie, and I still am, but the first reviews are trickling in from a lot of sources that have seen the preview screenings. A lot of comic book alumni have seen the preview screenings and are saying it's the best superhero, I'm probably going to jinx this, but they're saying it's the best superhero movie since Spider-Man 2, saying it's like really, really, really well done, and the characterization of, you know, Magneto and Xavier's storyline, they said it's going to be like, they think it's going to be like a sleeper hit. So I'm kind of pumped now to see it. At first, I was kind of like, I'm going to probably see it just because I have to, because it's X-Men. But now, I don't know. They could be completely wrong, but I kind of am wondering now if, like, maybe, you know, I don't know. I'm kind of sort of looking forward to it now. So, yeah.
Kind of, sort of.
Trust. Kind of, sort of, but no, more than before, it was sort of like, I'm just going to go out of having to see it, because it's X-Men, but no, I don't know, hopefully it will be good, and I'll be, if it is that good, then I will be shocked and amazed, so.
Well, yeah, I mean, saying that it's around Spider-Man 2 levels, I think is saying a lot, but I mean, ever since the character trailers came out, my whole opinion of the movie has changed, and I'm really pumped for it.
Every trailer that's come out has made it look better and better, so.
Totally.
I'm just worried about the general audience going, oh, so wait, where's Wolverine? And, you know, like, that's the thing you gotta worry about, is people are gonna be expecting, you know, those characters, and they're, you know, not realizing. I mean, yes, it says right in the title what it is, but they're probably still not gonna get it, but. So we'll see. My other geek out is kinda comic book centered, so for these who don't read comic books, you're gonna be completely confused, so. But, two of my friends who, not really into, they're into comics, but, one of them only usually reads Mike Boyd, who's been on my podcast. He only reads Marvel usually, and Scott Toomey, who is a former person from here. He barely reads comics. They both picked up Flashpoint number one and were both pretty much blown away. And Boyd even declared it the best comic he has read since 2001. And he hates DC, so he is completely hooked. And Scott is now completely hooked and wants to buy all the tie-ins and is completely pumped. So, I myself have not read it yet, but I'm geeking out just the fact that other people are geeking out about comics, and I sort of kind of got them into comics, into this DC realm again. It's written by Jeff Johns, of course, and it's kind of their summer blockbuster event, sort of like an alternate reality type thing where, you know, something happened to the world and everything's changed, and, you know, Flash is the only one who knows that it's a different reality, and it's going to be interesting. So I'm geeking out about that. So
awesome. That, yeah, it sounds like a really cool story from what I've heard of it so far, and the DC is putting a lot of attention into it. I mean, their blog, yeah, The Source, is every Friday at least really focusing, yeah, on Flashpoint.
And then they also, of course, announced, this is kind of newsworthy, I guess, not really a geek out, but they said that June 7th they're going to make a major blockbuster announcement regarding the DC Universe and what's happening after Flashpoint, and also something to do with Superman and Clark Kent. And there's rumors that this has something to do with the lawsuit that is continuing on between Superman's original creator's estate and DC Comics. So there's rumors that they may be doing all sorts of crazy things. So I don't know what's going to happen, but we'll find out on June 7th, I guess.
I wouldn't be surprised if they reinvent his origin story, because I know that was a big sticking point in
the
lawsuit.
That's one of the rumors. Also, one of the rumors is using Clark Kent and giving him a different identity than Superman, so in case they lose the rights, they can have another character. Or all the other rumors are they're just going to reboot him again. So it could be a bunch of things. So we'll find out. But, yeah, so big stuff happening soon. So
we're not going to see Electric Superman return, are we?
Oh, God, I hope not.
Superman Red and Blue.
I was just going to say, Superman Beyond, first looking at it, kind of looked like Electric Superman, so I probably shouldn't make fun of that.
This is true.
But, all right, those are my geek outs.
All right, I'm geeking over two things. The first of which I know you're familiar with because I saw you posted on Twitter as well, and that is the trailer for Green with Envy.
Oh, yes, thank you. I totally forgot about that. Fantastic. Fantastic marketing.
Yeah, those of you who haven't seen the trailer, pause this episode right now and go watch Green with Envy, because if not, we're going to spoil it for you right now. So pause right now, watch the trailer. It takes 2 or 3 minutes. Come back here and then tune back in. Because that is the coolest creative way to introduce the Muppets movie I can possibly think of.
It was just funny because I clicked on the link and I'm like, okay. And then, like, you see, I saw the poster and I'm like, what the hell? And it, like, looks like a generic romantic comedy. And they do it so well that even in the trailers, like, I've seen this trailer a zillion times before where it's like, and they did it so perfectly. And then they're like, Kermit the Frog?
Yeah.
I just love it. And it looks fantastic. And I know, Jason Segel, who stars in it and also wrote it, is a huge, huge Muppet fan, and he has been given the reins to kind of reinvigorate the franchise. So I'm excited. I can't wait to see it.
I can't believe I was fooled by it, because I knew Jason Segel was in it. I knew Amy Adams was in it. And then I watched the trailer just thinking, I'm like, yeah, this is the most god-awful romantic comedy I've ever seen. And then it jumps into – but the fact that they created the movie poster and the fake trailer.
Oh, it looks
and
so – it's
even
so,
on,
looks,
like, Apple trailers, it's promoted as Green with Envy, and then it jumps into the Muppets. It's so well done.
I guess they said – I was reading a bunch of people who saw it in the theater, and they said, like, the reaction is fantastic. I wish I had seen the trailer in the theater. Like, I don't know. I forget what it was playing before. Whatever came out last week, whatever. Kids – centered movie, prior some movie that came out last week, but I guess the audience reaction has been like fantastic, because people are like, oh, the Muppets, like, so that's cool. I just can't wait. I love the Muppets. My first movie I ever saw in the theater was Muppets Take Manhattan, so I have a long history. The first thing I ever, when I was 3 years, this is gonna sound weird, but when I was 3 years old, I loved the Muppet Show so much that I used to go through the TV guidebook and find the word Muppet Show and point it out, and I'd get really excited about the Muppet Show. So yeah, Muppets and I go way back, so I'm excited.
Yeah, I think it's going to be really good. This is a good – I mean, the Muppets have been kind of out of the mainstream for a little while now, so it'll be nice to have them back. My other geek out this week is actually in relation to a video game we mentioned last week, and also with things that I've dealt with in the past, because I mentioned before on the show that I'm a teacher, but I used to teach elementary school, and for a couple of years I actually worked one-on-one with a boy that has Asperger's syndrome. And what I'm talking about right now is that there are experts out there in the autism community that are talking about L.A. Noire and using it as a teaching tool for people with Asperger's because of how well done the motion capture is. And I have a piece of the article I'll read right now, so kind of ties everything up here. Though the autism spectrum disorder leaves cognitive and linguistic functions relatively preserved, it leaves some with what's sometimes referred to as mind blindness, or the inability to divine what's happening in the mind of another human. In L.A. Noire, facial animations are so realistically captured that players can actually tell if their interview subjects are lying. In fact, players have to do precisely that to unearth the clues essential to putting a case together. Professor Tony Atwood, the author of The Complete Guide to Asperger's Syndrome, suggested that those with the disorder may initially have trouble discerning a witness's fibs, but he would recommend the game to those with Asperger's as a way to learn more about human interaction. The most effective way might be to play alongside a friend or relative who could, as Atwood put it, give feedback and guidance on the characteristics to look for to determine whether someone is lying or not. So the fact that they can go back and watch these things over and over again and kind of look for the characteristics, you can't do stuff like that in real life and stop and have people say, okay, can you mimic what it looks like to lie or looks like to do this or that? But the facial captures come to a point where it's so precise, you can use it as a teaching tool to show people physical elements to look for that relate to either lying or emotions or thing like that. And that's amazing to me.
Wow. That's fascinating. I didn't know that at all, anything about that. That is really cool.
Yeah, and having worked with people on the autism spectrum, I think that's a tremendous tool. Granted, the genre of game is probably not the best thing for younger kids to be playing.
I was just going to say that, but hey.
Yeah, but now the technology is there. That's the important thing. They could use this technology now to develop other games that are more geared towards teaching that group of people. So, awesome. Fantastic leap in technology that looks like it's going to get used for multiple things.
Very cool.
So once again, people can say thank you to video games, as reluctant as they are to half the time. Well, then let's go right into freakouts.
Oh, freakout!
What are you freaking out over this week, Brian?
One is retarded now. Well, after our last segment, I feel like an idiot for saying that, but
don't worry about it.
PS Network is up and running, but the PlayStation Store is still not up, and it better be up by the time Infamous 2 comes out, or I'm going to kick someone's ass or throw my TV through a wall.
What do you need from the PlayStation Store for Infamous 2?
Well, no, I don't. I'm just saying. There's just like so many things that I'm just waiting. These games keep coming out with like downloadable content and stuff. And, you know, if you pre-order it here or here, you're going to have to use the store to get the stuff, and if it's not up, you're not going to be able to access it. Not that it won't be available at a later date, but it's just like, come on, it's supposed to be up like this week, and it still isn't up.
So. Yeah, although the Hero Edition of Infamous 2 does have that like crazy mega voucher that allows you to download all the sorts of content.
Saw that. Which is crazy.
I actually pre-ordered the Hero Edition.
Did you?
I did.
It actually looks pretty worth it, actually. It comes with so much crap that looks pretty cool, actually. Not crap in a bad way, just like awesome crap.
Right, I got it just for the sling pack, but I mean, everything else is awesome, too.
But yeah, I don't know. It's just kind of annoying. Like, I didn't buy Layaway Noir, but I know people who are still waiting to get like their voucher exclusive content for that they can't get. You know, it's just at this point, and I understand. You know, at least they got the network up and running. But it's just like, come on, you've got one of your biggest releases of Infamous coming in the 7th, and you still don't have the store up. So.
Yeah, very true.
I don't know. That's just my my other freakout. This is kind of a weird tangent. It's kind of personal. It's not really anything that has anything to do with anything.
All right.
But I'm not really going to get into it, but let's just say some interesting times going on in my life. So for those of you who think you have, like, crappy lives and stuff, you know, just always take what you have and appreciate what you have. And, you know, if you got your health, you got everything. So just stuff like that. I'm gonna leave it at that, but I just wanted to. It's been a rough couple of weeks for me, but
well, that was vague and mysterious.
It is vague. That was what it was supposed to be, vague and mysterious. It has nothing to do with me personally. So I mean myself. So we'll leave it at that.
Okay.
But vague and mysterious. If you are my friend, you probably know what's going on. If you don't, then you're not my. Now I'm joking. So we'll leave that as a little hook for people. Now I'm joking. But so that's all. It was vague and mysterious. My other freak out was something. I don't remember. Freak out. I didn't write it down. So I'm going to just say I only had two freakouts.
Okay. I have three different ones. One actually kind of leads into the other. The first is The Hangover Part 2, which I saw the other night.
Oh, okay. I would hear about this. Yes.
Yeah. I haven't written the full review yet, but The Hangover Part 2 was by far the worst movie I've seen yet this year.
It's got a really bad review rating on Rotten Tomatoes. It's got like 26%. And I'm sure you're going to get it. I'm not trying to step on your toes, but I heard that it's pretty much the exact same as the first movie, just changing the setting.
It is a lot of the same thing.
Yeah.
I thought they were going to have a more creative way of, like, getting everyone into that forgetful whatever, that they couldn't remember or anything, and they really didn't. The two other people I went with didn't like it either. And I wasn't sure if maybe we were crazy because I went home and I put the hashtag into Twitter and just did a search to see what people's initial reactions were to it. And everyone thought it was hysterical except for like one person.
There's a bunch of people that were like, this movie's, I don't care what anyone says, this is still a hilarious movie. And I'm like, okay. And from like, I trust your opinion, not to say that I wouldn't, I trust your opinion, but it's like I said, it's got pretty bad reviews from like Rotten Tomatoes, which is not always on par, but it's pretty, 26% approval rating is not good.
No, for, not
know,
at all.
The biggest, the supposedly the sequel to the biggest comedy hit of like the, of the last couple of years, you know. And it seems they kind of just pumped this out just so they can make a sequel because the other one made so much freaking money. And it's just like, and it's already breaking records again. It's just like, it's sad. It shows it doesn't matter what the content is. People will go, you know.
Yeah, but well, I don't once know. You see it, though, I mean, I was kind of excited, so of course I'm going to go. But now, now a part three, I'm not interested in whatsoever.
Oh, they do you think they're going to make a part three? God, I hope.
There is talk. I did read an article where Todd Phillips said that they did originally have in mind doing some sort of a trilogy. The third would be, not only would it end the franchise, but it wouldn't have the same formula. It would be something different. I don't know what they would do then, but
I don't know. Like, honestly, I really loved the first movie, but even seeing the trailers, I was like, okay, this kind of doesn't look that hysterical. And I was like, you know what, you know, there's so many movies coming out, and yes, I'm a comic book fan, and more of there's a lot of, so I was like, you know, I'm not gonna, money's kind of tight, so right now I'm gonna, you know, I'll wait for to see what happens. And then when I read your review, I'm like, okay, I think we're gonna wait for it to come out on, you know, Netflix or whatever. So I mean, I don't have any desire to go, you know, I'm not saying people don't go see it if you think it's, you may find it hilarious, but
I'm saying don't go see it.
And I know another, a bunch of people that other friends of mine, that, not close friends, but acquaintances, online acquaintances, have been like, yeah, it was terrible. So I'm like, okay, I'm getting kind of like a vibe that it's not as good. I don't know. Maybe it's just your people's sense of humor is different, but maybe, maybe not. So.
I don't know. It looked like, ugh, it was just bad. Anyway, the other thing that kind of relates to that is while I was in the movie theater, and I've seen these time after time, and I've mentioned or been meaning to bring it up at some point, but I haven't yet. They have those cell phone PSAs at the beginning of movies where they ask you to please silence your cell phone and all that. No issues with those. Most of them are good. Some of them are even kind of funny. The ones that really bother me are the two that I've seen where one grabs a scene from Clash of the Titans and the other grabs a scene from The Notebook and they voice over one of the characters.
Oh, God, I've seen both of those. You're right.
Yeah, for the general audience, that might be fine. For someone that goes to the movies as often as I do,
I was just going to say, because I've seen it twice already, and I've only...
Right. Why do I need to have a scene in a movie ruined for me because they want me to turn off my cell phone at the movie theater? Like, if I watch the regular movie now, if like, I'll learn... I go to the movies enough to where I'm going to learn those lines if I keep seeing them. And I'm going to imagine them when I'm watching the scene in the actual movie, which in turn pulls me out of the movie and just angers me. Like, it's stupid. I don't understand that kind of
to play devil's advocate, though. Are you really going to go home and watch The Notebook, though, and be like, oh, it ruined that scene for me?
Well, I mean, I like The Notebook. It's not something I own, and I'm going to rewatch over and over again. But I'm just saying as a precedent, because I don't know where they're going to go next.
Yeah.
If they start going into, like, Back to the Future or, like, other movies that I really, really love, I'm going to be seriously pissed off.
I gotcha.
It's a bad, it's a bad idea to just go with. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's my other freak out, but I do have one more. And this is a new person I have to add to my shit list. And No, this is not a personal thing. This is a producer, Ed Pressman. Are you familiar with the name? Okay. You might not be. I wasn't.
I've heard the name. I probably know him if you tell me where he's from. I've heard the name before.
Well, first of all, this is the guy that's responsible for the remake of The Crow, which we've given our opinions on already.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
But there's new information out now about this jabroni. Oh. Yeah, I'm going to use jabroni.
This mark.
Producer Ed Pressman has closed deals with Philip Noyce to direct a reinvention of the Jean-Claude Van Damme martial arts film, Bloodsport.
No.
Yeah, apparently the story will follow an American who goes to Brazil to recover from the violence he has experienced in Afghanistan, who gets involved in a martial arts contest.
Oh, God.
And this just puts one more nail in the coffin for this guy, in my opinion.
Yeah, you do not remake Bloodsport. Bloodsport is so good that I bought it on Blu-ray, and Bloodsport is not a movie that you like go, oh, I'm going to want to see this in clear quality, but I never had bought it before, but the movie is so classic, and I'm like, I need to own this, and it comes in a two-pack with Time Cop, so it's great. But no, Bloodsport is one of those classic movies. You got the Stan Bush songs in it, like Kumite.
Oh, yeah.
Kumite. It's you, oh, I'm like, ah. Oh. I'm so angry. You have no idea. That if you had told, this would have run on my freakouts if you had told me before.
Yeah, if this guy wants to make a martial arts movie with a similar idea to Bloodsport, go right ahead. Don't you dare
don't
use
call
the name
it Bloodsport. Seriously, make Kickboxer 8 or something. Don't.
So now it's Bloodsport and The Crow. This guy's crapping on, and he is so far on my shit list.
Obviously, he has no like way to find out any like unique and new ideas. So he's just like, let's just mine everything that's been done before and remake it, because that seems to be, it's like, seriously.
Yeah. Ugh,
terrible.
Yeah. But Ed Pressman, get the hell out of Hollywood, please, immediately, or get some original ideas, because I am through with you. So that's my other freak out. Let's take a look at some listener emails. Last week I asked, which new network show are you most looking forward to? And we did get two responses. And from the two people you would probably expect to send in responses, because they're the loyal listeners. The first one comes in from G1, who says there really isn't any network shows I'm planning on starting to watch, but there are two new shows that I am looking forward to, Wilfred on FX and Alphas on Sci-Fi. Now, I don't know anything about either of these two shows. Have you heard of them?
I have no idea. I haven't heard of them, but FX usually has a good track record of shows, but I have not even heard of it. And we're probably going to get slammed for not knowing, but I honestly haven't heard of either of them.
Yeah, well, I mean, we just did our research on the network stuff, so that's what we know.
Yeah, but I didn't do the cable stuff, so yeah.
Yeah. So G1, if you want to write in again and tell us what that stuff is.
Yeah, let us know.
I mean, maybe we'll I'll dig it. Let us know.
Yeah, definitely.
The other one comes in from superfan Chris Tong, and he says, "Hey, Rob, as many people know, I'm a huge fan of J.J. Abrams. Not many people were into Cloverfield, mainly due to the shaky camera, but I loved it. It made me feel like I was right there in the group and part of the action. Star Trek was amazing. Lost was out of this world. And must I say that I'm stoked for Super 8, the Star Trek sequel, Cloverfield 2, and Mission Impossible Ghost Protocol. So I'm sure you can see where this is going." Yep, that's right. "Alcatraz and Person of Interest are both on my radar. Both shows look pretty sweet. Can't wait to see the crazy twists that Abram throws into the mix. Have a good one."
Sweet.
Yeah, I think he picked the two of... the better looking shows that are coming out next season.
Yeah, I mean, not to say that, you know, there really wasn't that, it wasn't like the most amazing group of new television shows to date that look like they're going to set the world on fire. So, yeah, so it doesn't surprise me.
And J.J. Abrams has a fairly good track record at this point. I think we can kind of trust his projects a little bit more.
Yeah.
All right, so those are our listener emails for this week. We're going to jump right into news. Top story this week. It seems there was a version of the Wonder Woman TV pilot costume that had the, quote, Linda Carter booty shorts. I'm not sure if this was the final costume they were going with, or whether they were working with different versions of the costume, but you can see a picture of it on thegeekgeneration.com. What was your impression, Brian?
The impression of my picture was that guy looks really creepy and looks like some sort of guy from, like, The Hills Have Eyes or something. My the impression of the costume is pretty cool. Although with these on, when she was wearing her full pant outfit, she had a little camel toe going on, and she does it in this, sadly. And yes, I'm a sexist pig now. I thought it was cool because it had like the old Linda Carter look, like you said. But I don't know. After reading so many like reviews of like people who have actually seen the plot, it sounds like this was going to be a train wreck. So I hate to say it, maybe it was for the best that we didn't get to see any of this, and maybe it will exist someday in the interwebs, someone will find it. But yeah, the shorts were cool that they had the original look. But the fact, you know, again, her running around like that, it, like, kind of makes no sense. So I agreed with the whole pant thing.
Yeah, I thought it was interesting to actually see the classic costume, and it was hot. I mean, you're not gonna argue with that. But it doesn't make sense to use that one. I don't think it's so outdated looking that using the pants was a much better look for the show, I thought.
Yeah, I mean, in the comics, you can kind of still do it, but it's like she's walking around in pretty much granny panties running around. It's like, okay, that's kind of weird.
Right, it's very strange. It's just, unless you're going to go like the Black Canary route and put tights on under it or something.
Exactly, yeah, it just doesn't anymore.
Yeah.
But she looks good. So, I mean, I'm not going to lie.
Yeah, she does look good. It's just not for the TV show.
No.
Next one here, Warner Brothers Interactive Entertainment has announced Mortal Kombat Arcade Collection for PSN and Xbox Live Arcade. For the first time ever, the original Mortal Kombat Arcade Trilogy, being Mortal Kombat, Mortal Kombat 2, and Ultimate Mortal Kombat 3, have been brought together into a single collection which will be available for download in late summer 2011. Developed by Other Ocean in conjunction with NetherRealm Studios, the Mortal Kombat Arcade Collection will offer fans the chance to play through the games in their original arcade state and rediscover all their favorite characters, fatalities, and environments, as well as relive some of the franchise's most memorable secrets. In addition, this new collection will feature online play, leaderboards, achievements, and trophies. An arcade-perfect port, the Mortal Kombat Arcade Collection brings players their favorite Mortal Kombat arcade classics for $9.99 on PlayStation Network or 800 Microsoft points.
Yes, this sounds awesome. It reminds me of, I had on PS1, I think, was like Mortal Kombat Trilogy that had like all the characters from all the games together. But this is even cooler because it has like the three separate arcade games. And this sounds really cool, and that's a good price point. And I think it will be fun to replay through them. And definitely having the opportunity to play people online and stuff is really cool as well. So,
totally. I would have easily paid $15 or $20 for this.
I thought that's what it was originally. I was waiting for like $14.99. I was like, even that. But yeah, $9.99. Hell yeah.
Yeah, that's solid. This is a definite buy at that price.
Yeah. And just to clarify, collection is spelled with a K.
Of course, because that's the Mortal Kombat way.
Yes.
Speaking of which, Mortal Kombat is receiving stellar reviews everywhere I look. The rebooted version.
Yes, it got like in Game Informer, it got like a 9 out of 10. Like everywhere it's getting like rave reviews, like really good reviews.
Yeah, X-Play gave it 5 out of 5, which they rarely do.
Yeah. Yeah, especially on fighting. Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, it seems that the Mortal Kombat franchise has sort of been reinvigorated. So
maybe they'll attempt another Mortal Kombat versus DC and actually have it be a good game.
I wouldn't say it wasn't a good game. It just wasn't Mortal Kombat. It was like, let's take Mortal Kombat and take all the blood and guts out of it and just have the characters.
Yeah, I can understand their rationale for not letting the DC heroes necessarily have fatalities put on them, but they could have had, like, brutalities and, like, something really harsh, you know?
Yeah, exactly. But, you know, again, Warner Brothers, we must protect our characters. Protect them. Yeah. So, whatever.
Staying in the video game realm, Namco Bandai Games has announced Soul Calibur 5, the newest installment of its multi-million-selling weapons-based fighting series for the Xbox 360 and PlayStation 3. It delivers exhilarating 3D fighting mechanics, breathtaking visuals, and new characters, as well as expanding the online and character creation modes. Soul Calibur 5 is poised to become the preeminent fighting game experience of 2012. Developed by the legendary Project Soul team, Soul Calibur 5 picks up 17 years after the events of Soul Calibur 4, with new heroes and returning warriors clashing in an epic showdown between good and evil. The tale of Patroclus, son of Sophidia Alexandra, unfolds as his family's destiny intertwines with the Soul Swords. With the series' revolutionary 8-way run, allowing for true 3D movement during matches, a refined battle system, and stunning graphics, Soul Calibur 5 will be the top game of 2012 for anyone looking for a knockdown, drag-out fight.
I'm not their target fan base, because I played, I think, three was the one that was on PS2 in college. I played 3 a lot, because my roommate had it. Then I played 4 maybe once in the store, but I never really, I'm not saying they're not good games. I really like the idea of the weapons-based fighting stuff. I just never really got into that franchise. So I'm sure it will be fantastic for the people that love Soul Calibur, though.
Yeah, I dig the Soul Calibur series. I'm not sure I'm quite into it the way that I used to be. Mm-hmm. But the thing that's always seemed very nice about it is that anyone can really pick up and play. You can be a button masher and still do pretty damn well with this game.
Yeah, that's true.
Next one here was kind of a surprising one based on a lot of the news we've reported in the past. Director David O. Russell has departed the movie based on the PlayStation hit video game franchise Uncharted. Russell had seemed excited about the Columbia Pictures project, speaking frequently and enthusiastically about it as he made the rounds to promote The Fighter during awards season, but creative differences between him and Sony developed and the sides parted amicably, insiders say. While no official casting choices were made, Mark Wahlberg was being talked about as the lead role with Robert De Niro and Joe Pesci co-starring. With David O. Russell now leaving the project, there's a good chance that those parts will be recast, so Nathan Fillion looks like he'd get a second chance.
Yeah, I hate to say it, but I'm kind of not surprised. And this is going to sound like a bash on Uncharted, which it shouldn't be, because I'm looking forward to the Uncharted movie. But I think he obviously, let's be honest, he just made The Fighter, and is probably, I have a feeling either him or, you know, I'm sure people he's with are probably like, you don't want to go do like a video game movie now. You want to go do some sort of other, like, you know, you got to keep up with your, you know, keep pace with what you just did. I have a feeling, I'm sure there's creative differences, but I don't know. I just have a feeling, you know, it was sort of like, oh, a video game movie, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know. So who knows? But yeah, we'll see where it goes. I am kind of worried now because I hope it doesn't just going down. I mean, if we get to like Max Payne or not Max Payne or like, yeah, those kind of, or Hitman level of those terrible video game adaptations. So. Yeah,
well, you
know.
Think about the majority of video game movies, and they're pretty much awful. So it was,
yeah.
Maybe I would think a director would jump at the chance to do a video game movie simply because they want to be the one to prove that it can be done and do it well.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, and this is not a good movie, but for me, it's still one of the most accurate. The first Mortal Kombat, I still think is one of the better video game adaptations.
I agree. I liked it. I had fun with it.
I loved it. It was just great casting, and they made the video game, you know. And Uncharted is such a huge, epic adventure story that I think you really do need a really good director. You can't just hand it to some guy that can do special effects, you know, like they did with, like, pretty much any other video game movies that, you know, come out. So, yeah, I hope they get a good director who can do it. So
yeah, and as much of a fan of Mark Wahlberg as I am, I'm not necessarily sad to see him move to the side, and I would rather have Nathan Fillion in that role. So, second opportunity, come on, let's get that Twitter feed going again.
I don't know. The thing, I don't want to go to rant, but the thing with Nathan Fillion is Hollywood's not going to see him as a viable leading man for the movie. I mean, they're already going to say, oh, it's a video, we need to get someone, because trust me, this is how Hollywood looks at things, even the content.
Oh, I know.
We need a big name, so they're gonna try to put someone big in there, even though I agree, Nathan Fillion would be
fantastic.
We
can still dream, Brian. We can still dream.
Okay, in our dream Uncharted movie, he will be in our minds, he would be, no, but yeah, exactly. So we never know. Stranger things have happened.
Very true, very true. To add on to the list of people that they're putting a huge amount of superstars into for the next season of Dexter, Emmy and Golden Globe award-winning actor Edward James Olmos has joined recently announced special guest stars Colin Hanks and Mose in the cast of the Showtime drama series Dexter for season 6. Olmos will play a brilliant, charismatic professor of religious studies.
Interesting. I dig it.
Yeah. But wow, what a cast they're putting together.
Yeah, they're pulling out all the stops, like pulling out, yeah, like really good guest stars, like supporting character, guest stars, big name actors for, not big name, but like good, dependable, you know, actors.
Yeah. So. Well, the nice thing to see too is they really kind of had one per season at this point, and mm-hmm. it was way too evident that was the person, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, exactly. Like the season with what's his face? What's the
John?
The Sun. Thank you, John Lithgow.
Yeah, John Lithgow. Yeah.
Yeah, I was like, I can't think of his name. So yeah, like exactly.
And he was still
like,
one of the better guest stars. That guy is just amazing.
Yeah, exactly. But I'm just, yeah, like you said though, it's just kind of like, yeah, I like that they're putting in multiples. So you don't know, like there's more ways the story can go, I think.
Absolutely. Next story here. I'm not sure how I feel about this, but we'll get into it. Warner Brothers Interactive Entertainment and DC Entertainment have announced Gotham City Imposters, an original download-only first-person shooter where players battle for control of an unhinged Gotham City overrun by imposters inspired by the DC Comics characters Batman and the Joker. Developed by Monolith Productions, the game will be available on XBLA, PSN, and Windows PC. Gotham City Imposters is a multiplayer game unlike any other, giving players the opportunity to rebel against conformity as they customize their own characters. Posing as amateur vigilantes or villains, gamers will create their very own Bats and Joker's characters, using unprecedented customization options, including insane costumes, homebrewed gadgets, and a wide range of traditional and imagined weapons.
I never heard of this, and I don't like the sound of it.
Yeah, I think the concept is fairly interesting, but
the concept could be done well if they just didn't tie it into Batman and Joker.
Right, I don't think they need to. I think when you have something that has like a break in the paradigm of the rules of the universe you're setting it up in. Like, yes, we know this isn't Batman using guns, but having Batman imposters pick up guns.
Yeah, it's going to look weird.
Yeah, I don't want to support
like
that.
I don't think it's going to make a dent anyways. Anyway, it sounds like it's, no offense, but most of these, you know, mobile or downloadable, like, arcade, these, they're not going to put much money into it. It's probably, you know, I'm probably going to get flamed for saying that, but I mean, I don't think it's going to be it's not going to set the world on fire. So I think it's going to go away pretty fast and no one's going to really remember it, or it's not going to be like, you know, once Arkham City comes out, forget it. No one's going to like remember this existence.
So. Yeah. A couple of people were asking me about this the other day, because when anything Batman comes up, they always come to me for my opinion. And I said, let's see, I thought about it for a second. I'm like, well, it's in the Batman universe. You got a bunch of people running around with guns. You got Batman guys and Joker guys, and Batman's not necessarily in it. So I'm not, I'd be like, oh, here's the solution. Let's make it a massively multiplayer online game. Everyone can go be one of the Batman, or they can go be one of the Jokers, but I get to use Batman and beat the crap out of everybody. Then I'm down for it.
Yeah, this just sounds like it's like, if you want to do this, couldn't you just play DC Online and, you know, get the same feel? I mean, you're basically being a superhero. I don't know. It's just,
yeah, I have no interest in being a Batman knockoff. I want to be Batman.
Yeah.
That's it.
It's true. It's true.
Last story. We're jumping into the comic book realm, which we rarely do on this show, I suppose, as far as news stories.
I was surprised to even see it on here. It's not that, I mean,
it's huge, but I'm interested in it. That's why it's on.
fine.
Spinning out of the fan favorite Batman Beyond series come the adventures of the Man of Tomorrow in the DC Universe of the future. An aging Kal-El is called back into action to stop a villain more powerful than he's ever faced, all while his own superpowers are starting to fade. Superman Beyond number 0 will be written by Tom DeFalco and illustrated by Ron Frenz and Sal Buscema. The one-shot will be available in August. Now, the other reason I included it is not only because I am a fan of Batman Beyond and I think this is a cool spin-off idea, but I wanted your opinion on it because one of the things that they use to promote it is saying that he's facing this powerful villain while his own superpowers are starting to fade. But in every other version of Superman that I've seen, they have all said that as he gets older, his powers will actually increase. So this goes against what we've always been told, doesn't it?
Yeah, and I don't want to get into it. This just, I don't know, it doesn't seem, I don't know if it's going to be an ongoing series, which I assume it is, but it says one, so I don't know if it's a one-shot, I don't know if that's going to lead into an ongoing series, but the guy, it's written by Tom DeFalco, he's very good writer, but he's definitely stuck in the 1980s. He used to be the editor-in-chief of Marvel from, I believe, like 88 to like 1990, and he's definitely old school, and he recently wrote for Marvel Spider-Girl, which was an alternate reality future where Mary Jane and Peter Parker had a daughter who grew up to be Spider-Girl, and it was very written in a very 80s tone and very, you know, nothing pushing the envelope, very like basic, almost like really cheesy Archie type, and this is the exact same creative team, so it has me worried. Because one, I have no idea. Tom DeFalco's never written anything for DC. He's been pretty much Marvel his whole entire life. And two, I have no idea if he even has an idea of Batman Beyond. So it's kind of makes me kind of worried. So I don't know if it's going to be any good. And it seems, I guess it's an interesting concept, but it seems like they're just trying to do it to cash in because their Batman Beyond comic that they've started that takes place after the TV series ended is doing really, really well. But I don't know. This just seems like a random thing, and plus, you know, the creative team doesn't exactly wow me. They're not exactly on this cusp of being hot comic book creative team. They're very, very old school, so I don't know. It should be interesting one way or the other.
Yeah. I mean, that was my main thing. It just looked interesting, and that was it. So I was like, I don't know. I don't know if it's something I'm necessarily going to get into. I don't even read the Batman Beyond comic, which I don't know why I don't, because the I love the series
pretty good.
So much.
If you want to, if you like Hush and Hush, Hush is in the, they bring all sorts of characters into the Batman Beyond universe who's never been in it. So
nice.
it's kind of like a combo of the DC universe and the Batman Beyond universe in the future.
I am dying for them to do another DC animated movie based on Batman Beyond.
That would be fantastic. Although they kind of wrapped up Batman Beyond with that episode of Justice.
They
kind of gave it
did, but what if they took it from that point into a movie?
Yeah,
that's what I'd like to say.
This is true.
I don't necessarily need a really young Terry. Like, let's see what happens as he gets older now.
Yeah, because that's what I was going to say. Because the comic book series takes place before that. They made sure to say that this is way before that. You know, so he doesn't know that. Spoiler alert: Bruce is his father. Yeah. So,
and blasphemy aside, I would kind of like to see, just out of curiosity, the universe of Terry being an older Batman, but Bruce has passed away at this point.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what does he do without Bruce, you know?
Yeah, can he survive on his own without having that, like, that anchor and sort of a mentor?
Right, and what kind of a Batman is he now that his mentor's gone?
Mm-hmm.
That's the stuff I'm really interested
in. That'd
be kind
of cool.
Yeah.
I'm wondering if they're eventually going to take the comic in that. They could eventually, you know, move it forward in time, but I'm wondering if it's sort of like an off-limits thing where they're like, yeah, you can only play in this area.
Right, right.
So I don't know. So we'll see. But yeah, that would be cool. The problem with the animated movies, I guess they said pretty much is unless it's a movie coming out or Superman or Batman, you're not going to get it made. But Batman Beyond is included in Batman, so it probably has a good chance.
I would hope. So. I would love to see it. All right, this week's poll question, and I appreciate the two that wrote in, but I'm hoping for some more even this week. What summer
more people,
movie?
Write in.
Yeah. What summer movie are you most looking forward to? And Brian and I, after the break, are going to come back and talk about a lot of the summer movies that are coming out. But I do want to know what summer movie the audience is looking forward to. You can send your answer to podcast@thegeekgeneration.com or @geekgeneration on Twitter. So with that, we're going to take a quick commercial break, and we will be right back. Do you shop on Amazon.com? Would you like to support the Geek Generation while shopping on Amazon.com? Great, because you can do both without spending any additional money. All you need to do is visit www.thegeekgeneration.com and find the Amazon button on the front page. Click the button, do your normal shopping, and check out. You've spent no additional money, but you have earned us a commission. Please make this a regular part of your Amazon.com shopping routine.
Hello, this is Ned Bazzini, author of It's Kind of a Funny Story, and you're listening to the Geek Generation Podcast.
Brian, did you ever see that, by the way? It's Kind of a Funny Story.
No.
No?
No.
I enjoyed it.
Sounds familiar. I don't even know if I've heard
it. It was Zach Galifianakis was in it, and...
Oh, okay. No, I have not seen that, but no,
Emma Roberts,
yeah,
it took place in the mental hospital or the psych ward or whatever.
Yep. It looked good. I remember.
Check it out. I mean, it didn't crack my top 10. Unfortunately, I watched it after I made my list, but... It still wouldn't have cracked it, but I do think it was up there as honorable. I think I included it as an honorable mention. I really liked it.
Sweet.
Yeah. Okay. Speaking of movies, we have our summer movie preview that we're going to get into now. And as far as summer movies go, I mean, people could argue that they've kind of started already, The Hangover 2 and Thor and all that. But the summer movie block really is June, July, August. So we're going to focus primarily on that. Kind of run down what's coming out when so everybody has a good idea of when. And if you have your calendar in front of you, you can mark things down when you're interested as you go along. So this is your little preview of everything that's going on. First up, and coming up real soon, on June 3rd, is X-Men First Class, which we talked about a little bit already.
Yeah. I think this, like I said, the reviews are critically saying it's good. It's all going to matter. I think the box office, I think people are going to be surprised because the X-Men name itself is going to sell. I know people are saying, you know, I even said it, you know, Marvel's not promoting it at all in their comics or stuff, but the TV ad's been going on, and I think, you know, the X-Men name is one of those big franchise people are going to, I think it's going to surprise a lot of people. I think it's going to beat Thor's numbers easily. Even though it's probably not, it might not be as good as a movie as Thor, we'll see, but it's going to do a good, and I'm going to go out on a limb and say, if I'm wrong, I'm probably going to be pretty wrong, but I think it may even beat Green Lantern's numbers. I'm just thinking the X-Men franchise, because people, they've got 4 movies already under their belts. I think they've increased each time, so I don't know. I'm thinking it's going to be a big hit. I don't know if it's going to be good movie-wise, but I think it's going
to
draw a lot of fans.
Well, yeah, it's hard to argue that it's going to make good money, because like you said, they do have 4 movies under their belt. They have more planned, so...
Yeah, and it's just one of those things, you say X-Men, you know, it started in 2000, people have spent 11 years now invested in these characters. I think it's going to do pretty well. So
yeah. June 10th, Super 8. Speaking of J.J. Abrams, as we did earlier.
Exactly.
I'm really pumped for this movie. And when I watch the previews, I can't help thinking E.T.
I was just going to... We're right on the same level. I was about to say that it seems like it's going to be this generation's E.T. It really... although I think the latest trailer, not the first one they put up, but the second one, I thought gave a little too much away. They're starting to give... I like when they keep... And not that it really told you anything, but it's a little too much information for me. But I am very excited for it. depending, considering it's being bookended by X-Men and Green Lantern, I may not see it the opening weekend, mm-hmm. but I definitely do want to see it. And I think it's probably going to be, you know, like you said, his track record is pretty good. I think it's going to be a different movie than he's done before. But like you said, I think it's going to be more along the lines of a family, but still family, more family like E.T., but more. It's still going to have the famous, you know, J.J. Abrams stuff. And I think it's going to be good. I think it's going to surprise. Actually, it's probably not going to surprise you. People are going to enjoy it, though. I think, you know, his track record is just too good. I think it's going to be a good movie.
Yeah, and it's not even like it's going to take a blockbuster cast to sell this thing, because there's really not a lot of huge names in it. I mean,
no, there isn't.
Oddly enough, Elle Fanning might be the biggest name in the movie.
I was just going to say, I think you might be right.
And honestly, I love everything she's in. I think she's a better actor than her sister even, but this movie looks tremendous. I can't wait for it.
Yeah, I think it's going to, it may not draw crowds, but I think it's going to be critically acclaimed. It's going to be like a Cloverfield type or a Star Trek, Star Trek made good, but I think people are going to, I don't know if a lot of people know what it's about, which is a good thing, kind of like Cloverfield, but I think that's part of the thing that's going to make it good.
Absolutely. So. Moving on to June 17th, we have two on the list here, Green Lantern and Mr. Popper's Penguins. And I'm not going into every single movie that's coming out this summer, but some that we can at least take note on. And Green Lantern, we've talked about that extensively from week to week.
Extensively. The newest trailer, I thought, made it really good. I think we talked about that last week, how the new trailer made it really good for the general audience. I think it's going to do huge numbers. Not maybe X-Men numbers, but I may be surprised. But it really, part of me still sees it and says it looks very Star Wars prequel in the way where it's like you're out in space, but there's a lot of like just green screen mm-hmm. aliens everywhere. And I think that maybe it's detractor. But on the other hand, I think it's going to be a big hit with like kids and Ryan Reynolds with the females. So I think it's going to do really, really well. And I'm excited to see it just to see if they can pull it off. I'm still not 100% sold on Ryan Reynolds as Hal Jordan. Mm-hmm. And I don't like that. I read in an interview with him where he's just like, yeah, this Hal Jordan's a little more like, what do you call it? He's a little more, comedic and likes to tell jokes. And I'm like, that's not Hal Jordan at all. He's the complete opposite of that. But okay. So I'm, with that said, I'm still looking forward to it. And I think it's probably going to be DC needs it to be a huge movie, because if it doesn't, they're fucked, literally.
Right.
They are. So they've got a lot. Warner Brothers has got a lot riding on June 17th. So Mr. Popper's Penguins, watch out. No,
I think Green Lantern will definitely own the box office that weekend.
What is Mr. Popper's Penguins, by the way?
Mr. Popper's Penguins is a Jim Carrey movie actually based on a children's book of the same name. So it's kind of like that idea of taking Where the Wild Things Are, that short story, and kind of expanding it out into something longer. And Mr. Popper's Penguins actually is a bit of a longer story than Where the Wild Things Are. And I really liked the story as a kid. That's the only reason I included it on this list.
Okay.
But I don't know if it's going to be something I'm really going to be interested in. I'm going to try and watch it, and I'm hoping that it's going to kind of satisfy the adult curiosity and the children's humor. But I think it's just going to end up being a kid's movie overall.
Yeah, normally I would say, you know, it was a really good idea to open a kids movie, you know, thinking that a lot of the adults and teens are going to go see Green Lantern. I think a lot of little kids are going to be like, I want to go see Green Lantern. I don't think it's going to do very well. I think they should have waited, and of course they couldn't. We'll get to in a second. Next week is Cars 2, which is going to I would have put it out June 10th. Honestly, I would have pushed it up a week, you know, if I was the movie company, because you know. Super 8, push it away from Green Lantern, because the kids are going to be like, I want to go see Green Lantern. They're not going to go, let's go, you know, maybe the little kids will, you know, parents bring them to see it, but I don't know how well, I'm sure they don't really care how well it's, but, you know, just me thinking, you know, thinking marketing.
I can understand why they're doing it when they are. I mean, yes, the Green Lantern is going to draw some kids, but coming up within the next few weeks, there's a ton of huge kids movies.
Ton of kids, yeah, kids
so they kind of had to get it in right away as soon as they could.
Yeah.
And that brings us to June 24th, where we have Cars 2 as one of them. And even though I've expressed my opinion about the Cars franchise,
I'm not a big fan.
Yeah, I'm just not that interested. I probably won't see this in the theater. I'll wait for the DVD. And I might not go to the movies at all that weekend, because the other one is Bad Teacher. And that looks absolutely terrible.
What, what is that? I've never even heard of it.
Basically, I mean, I've only seen the trailers, but it's enough to understand what's going on in the movie, of course, because so many of them give away too much these days anyway.
Yeah.
Basically, there's this teacher in school that's absolutely horrible, played by Cameron Diaz. For one, it doesn't come across well. Like, she's too much of the nicey-nice personality to play, like, a badass teacher. So she's this teacher that doesn't care. She breaks basically every rule in the school, like swears at her students, calls them stupid, all this stuff. Horrible teacher, hence the name of the movie. And she's
I was gonna say,
she's just really interested in finding a guy that's going to take care of her so she can quit teaching. And enter Justin Timberlake, who's like a new substitute in the school. And he's playing a dorky, like nerd type guy with the glasses. But she notices like a Rolex on his wrist, and he's apparently loaded, just broke up with like an ex-girlfriend or something. And
this is painful.
Yeah. Oh, it gets worse. When they're talking, he says that he just broke up with his ex-girlfriend. She looks at the picture and the girl has like enormous breasts. So she assumes that in order to get win this guy over, she has to now get a boob job and get giant breasts as well in order to.
This is really coming out. Are you serious? Did someone really fund this movie to be?
I know. In order to afford the boob job, there is a bonus that gets given to a teacher that has the highest test scores. So now she's going to become a really good teacher by using all her badass tactics to win the money and get the boobs and win the dorky substitute.
Whoever wrote this movie should be dragged out in the street right now and beaten with a shoe and never, ever be involved in any movie-making process. I'm sorry. I haven't even seen the trailer, but I want to now because this sounds like a bad sketch on Saturday Night Live. I can't even... I've seen Lifetime movies with better plots than this, or I've seen parts of Lifetime, say. This just sounds absolutely horrendous. Unless it was played as a parody, I can't see this doing any even a day. It's going to come in like number seven. Yeah. It's going to be...
Slightly amusing thing in the entire trailer is that Jason Segel plays a gym teacher that's kind of like hitting on her the whole time.
Really?
Yeah. And he has a couple funny lines, but aside from that, it just looks like an abomination.
I can't believe Timberlake. I thought he would be smart enough to... this may have been made when he was still dating Cameron.
Which
Diaz.
I think is the case.
That was Yeah.
Because they do that. I hate it when they do that in movies all the time. They put a couple together
let's make a movie together. No, let's not.
Yeah, never mind the fact that we could cast these roles better. We're just going to get you guys because you're a couple.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Oh, my God. Yeah. Terrible. All right, let's move on.
June 29th, Transformers Dark of the Moon.
So, Rob, tell me about your thoughts on this movie.
Dude,
I don't care. Be honest. I don't give a shit.
I'll say what I said before. The trailer looks really good, but I'll be damned if I'm fooled again.
So did the second trailer for the second movie. I just read yesterday that the running time for this is 164 minutes, which puts it at 2 hours and 40 minutes.
Wow.
All I know is there's going to be a lot of girls running around in slow motion and a lot of explosions for that long of a movie. I understand if he wants to wrap up his epic trilogy, but I just don't know if the attention span of a blockbuster Michael Bay movie can be that long. I don't know. It's going to be interesting. I'm looking forward to it just as a Transformers fan, but I'm not going into it saying, you know, this is going to be the best movie of all time. It's probably going to be utter shit, but I'm hoping that they learned their lessons from the last movie because, you know, a lot of them came out and said they were, you know, they knew it was a bad movie and everything. So I'm hoping at least there's going to be a lot of cool nods to the fan base, which it looks like there's going to be. But, I'm not expecting it to be a good movie or anything. So, I mean, I'll go see it just because it's Transformers.
Yeah.
And I'm sure it's going to make a fucking shitload of money and blow out, like, everything. Nothing coming. You notice there's no movies coming out, like, for the next, you know, while. You know, that are that big. So they know what they got. So,
well, if you wait till July 1st, there's Larry Crown, which...
What is this?
Yeah, I know you're not super familiar with this. The main push of this movie is that it's Tom Hanks and Julia Roberts.
Okay.
Basically, I think it looks interesting. I think I'm actually going to see it. The synopsis reads, until he was downsized, affable, amiable Larry Crown was a superstar team leader at the big box company where he's worked since his time in the Navy. Underwater on his mortgage and unclear on what to do with his suddenly free days, Larry heads to his local college to start over. There he becomes part of a colorful community of outcasts, also ran Also Rands, that doesn't look right. And the Overlooked, all trying to find a better... Oh, they're saying Outcast also... What's an also Ran?
I guess they're trying to say that's kind of like a person that had something going and then it failed.
That's a weird name to classify people.
I know.
All right, let me try this again. There he becomes part of a colorful community of outcasts, also Rans, and the Overlooked, all trying to find a better future for themselves, often moving around town in a herd of scooters. In his public speaking class, Larry develops an unexpected crush on his teacher, Mercedes Tainot, played by Julia Roberts, who has lost as much passion for teaching as she has for her husband. The simple guy who has every reason to think his life is stalled will come to learn an unexpected lesson. When you think everything worth having has passed you by, you might just discover your reason to live. So I think it's one of those kind of feel-good life movies, but...
I was just going to say, I like that premise, but the problem is you already know how it's going to end.
Yeah.
That's why...
Well, it's romantic comedy, I mean.
Yeah, I know, but that's what I'm saying. It's like every single... It's like, I know there's a certain niche for that, and it's just like, okay, I get it. But yeah, it actually sounds decent enough for a plot for those kind of things. It doesn't sound bad. So yeah, and Hanks, you know, can bring it. And so, and Julie Roberts, she's hit or miss, but you know, Hanks can he can bring the goods. So I mean, it's interesting him to go back to that genre, which he hasn't been in a long while. So
right,
we'll see if his drawing power can still do
and
that.
He's actually doing romantic comedies without Meg Ryan now. So
that's what I was gonna say. I actually think, you know, now that you told me what it is, I bet you it could have a chance of beating Transformers that weekend.
Yeah.
Just because it's Tom Hanks in romantic comedy and it will draw.
Yeah, well, that's a star power thing.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Him coming back to romantic comedies could be interesting to see.
It's also worth noting that a geek favorite, George Takei, is also in the movie.
Oh, yes.
Yes, he plays another teacher at the community college, and he's mentioned the fact that he was excited to work with Tom Hanks and Julia Roberts, because who wouldn't be?
All right, I take back my statement, considering I didn't realize they moved Transformers up 3 days. So, yeah, that's going to be opening weekend. It's not going to be Transformers, but I will give it the next weekend, I think. I think it will be Transformers the next weekend. Because it will be everyone will have already seen Transformers.
Yep.
So.
July 8th.
Sorry.
Horrible Bosses.
No idea what this is. I'm like, I feel bad. I'm like,
that's okay.
I have no idea.
Horrible Bosses is basically a group of three guys. They are played by Jason Bateman, Charlie Day, and Jason Sudeikis from SNL. They each have a boss that falls into a particular kind of boss stereotype. One is a psycho, one is a man-eater, and one is a tool. And the bosses are played by Colin Farrell, Kevin Spacey, and Jennifer Aniston. And basically, they all decide our lives would be so much better if our bosses were dead. So let's kill each other's bosses. And it's a comedy.
This actually could be a really good black comedy.
Yeah, it looks pretty funny, I think.
I think that the three guys you named are fantastic comedic actors, so I think you got a winner there.
I think it's interesting too that this has Jason Bateman and Jennifer Aniston, who are just in a romantic comedy like last year.
Exactly.
So that's interesting.
It's kind of funny.
The next one here on the same day is Zookeeper. And this could be hit or miss. This is a Kevin James comedy, which he hasn't had the best track record as of late,
especially when
he's on his own. But basically, he is a zookeeper who kind of failed at love at one point, and he's just a super dedicated guy. And at one point, he decides, okay, I'm going to leave the zoo and go get another job. And the animals are like, no. So they decide to break their silence and start talking to him and teach him ways to win the girl and all that stuff. So it could be just a total flop, but the reason that it's interesting is that the whole thing takes place in Franklin Park Zoo, which is not only local, it's also where my sister works. So she got to see a lot of the filming going on, which I think is pretty interesting. The only thing that's funny about it, and they actually do, they use Franklin Park Zoo as the locale. They don't change the name. He wears the actual uniforms that the zookeepers wear. So all that's really interesting.
Wow.
The thing that's going to be kind of weird about it, not only will it bring people into the zoo, but they actually had animals imported for this movie. So if people go to the zoo looking for some of these animals, they're just not going to be there. You're not going to find giraffes and elephants at Franklin Park Zoo.
I was thinking that. I'm like, you know, there's probably...
But I do think it's interesting.
Cool,
I mean, the local... That is worth watching it just when you're familiar with the location, kind of see how they show it and all that stuff.
Yeah.
So it's not, I don't think overall it'll be a fantastic movie. It's just the curiosity factor.
Yeah,
really.
Promise does not exactly sign. Yeah, exactly.
July 15th, we got a double whammy here.
Uh-oh.
Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows Part 2.
Which is going to blow everything out of that. That's going to be a huge, huge
pretty much.
Hit.
Did you see Part 1?
I haven't seen any Harry Potter movie to this day. And it's not of me not liking Harry Potter. It's just me just never getting around to it and not getting really interested. I never read the books. I saw the Lord of the Rings movies, but I never saw the Harry Potter ones. And I just never... I don't have anything against it. Maybe eventually I'll see, but no, I probably will not be seeing the. I would probably not start with the last movie, but I heard this one is pretty dark, and it looks like it's going to be the last one. It's going to be death.
Well, yeah, the biggest thing here is that this is the last Harry Potter movie, so
I think that's why it's you know, go all in,
yeah,
and you know,
I'm really pumped for it. I dug the first one; it was almost on my top 10 and just got bumped off, so it was up there as far as a good movie goes in general. And I am really excited for this.
I think they're going to have a good week. The problem is they got Captain America coming out the next week, which is going to probably not help.
True.
Them,
and also taking a dent away from it. And it might not seem like it's going to, but Winnie the Pooh.
Really? Is this like a live action? Or
no,
is
this is smart. This is Disney going back to the classic Winnie the Pooh animation and doing a whole new animated movie in the classic style.
Ooh.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
That's... Yeah, and opening the same week as that's interesting.
It's like two kids movies, even though Harry Potter is now bridging ages.
No, but yeah, it's still that's interesting.
And I want to see both of them. I'm not gonna lie.
I think Harry Potter will win, but I wish Winnie the Pooh would.
Right.
Just because I like Winnie the Pooh.
I like the Pooh. Can you say that again? I want to drop.
I like Winnie the Pooh.
Oh, okay. July 22nd. There's a couple movies here. Actually, all three I'm interested in. One of them is a limited release, and that's Another Earth. And I'm assuming you probably haven't heard too much about that one.
No.
Okay. Another Earth is basically about a woman that's in MIT's astrophysics program, and she wants to kind of explore space and all that. She discovers, or I don't know if she discovers, but there's a discovery of a duplicate Earth. And basically they say that everybody has a copy of themselves on this other Earth, but you can like pay to fly from one to the other and have a fresh start or something. It's kind of a weird premise, but the main character, I guess, has made some mistakes in her life that have led to some massive tragedies. And she feels like, well, this Earth is just not the place for me anymore. I want to go over to the duplicate Earth and kind of start fresh. And that's an interesting concept. It's a drama, so it's going to be pretty heavy, I think. And it is a limited release, so it's not going to be a huge, massive hit. But it's an interesting enough premise where I want to check it out.
Definitely. That sounds cool.
Yeah. The other ones we have here are Captain America, the First Avenger.
Who's ever
heard
of that?
I know, right? It was
that?
Captain America.
I will be in San Diego at this point, probably seeing Captain America there. So I think Captain America is going to be... If not, Transformers may beat it out, but I think it may be the best comic book movie of the summer. I meant box office-wise, Transformers would beat it out. But I'm pumped. Every trailer looks better and better. It's Captain America, and I think it's one of those names that people know, unlike Thor, where people are just going to go, oh, Captain America. And especially since he died a couple years ago, I think people are going to be really – it's in the public consciousness now. I think it's going to – the thing is, it's a period piece. That's its only – downside, but I think it's going to surprise a lot of people, and I think it's going to be the hands down comic book winner of the summer. And it's the last Marvel movie before Avengers, so they got to make a big push at the end of it for Avengers. So it should be interesting to see how it does, and I can't wait.
Yeah, this is huge. It's Captain America, and like you said, this is the last one leading up to Avengers, and it's going to be big. There's no doubt.
It's going to be huge. Yeah. So, and other than that, we have what Friends with Benefits, which
is just one of those movies because earlier this year, No Strings Attached came out with Ashton Kutcher and Natalie Portman, and this is basically the same premise except it's Justin Timberlake and Mila Kunis. And when I watch this preview on the screen, there is no chemistry between the two of them, at least in the trailer.
That's no
yeah.
good.
So doing that's a romantic gonna, comedy with die. Two people who seem like they have zero chemistry together, I don't know.
And again, obviously they put it out the week with Captain America because they figure, well, you know, the wives and the girls will go see this, but if they have no chemistry, I mean, I don't know. That's not a good sign.
No. I mean, I wasn't picking up on any. Maybe it's just me, but.
No.
Or maybe it's just being angry that Justin Timberlake's in another movie with an incredibly attractive woman, so.
Damn you, Timberlake. You took Britney Spears' virginity. Never mind.
That's Timberlake's second movie on the list this summer.
Yeah, it is. He's a madman.
He's gonna be a force. Let's see. That's July 22nd. Moving into July 29th, there are three different movies on my list here. The first and probably biggest as far as this show goes is Cowboys and Aliens.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that. Any movie where you got James Bond and Indiana Jones together, I don't care. It's gonna be awesome.
Absolutely.
The comic. It's based on a comic book. The comic book. I've actually flipped through in Borders. It's not the best, and it's not a well-known comic, but they picked up on it, and then they've changed some things to make it look better, and it looks actually pretty entertaining. I don't think it's going to be a fantastic, blow-away, like, good movie, but it looks what it's supposed to be, a summer blockbuster. Mm-hmm. I think it's going to be pretty entertaining. It's got a good cast, so I'm kind of looking forward to it. It'll be interesting to see if Captain America could hold on to it, I'm assuming is going to be number one. It can hold on, or is Cowboy Aliens going to bump it off? So I think that will be the battle. Even though Smurfs is coming out, I think
Cowboys and Aliens is going to trump Captain America that weekend, because you also can't forget about the Jon Favreau factor, and people are so behind him after the Iron Man movies.
This is true.
So that's going to be another huge thing in their favor. The Smurfs.
All right, let me just say this. I saw the trailer. I played the Smurfs when I was a kid. Actually, when I was in the hospital, my parents gave me a little like Smurf thing a plush Smurf doll, and I always had it with me. So Smurfs, and I watched the cartoon as a kid, big part of my life. This trailer, watching it, and I'm hoping not offending anyone, this made it look like it felt like they were raping my childhood. It was so bad. Like, just absolutely. I know Neil Patrick Harris is in it, and he's got good voice, but no, they're doing computer-generated Smurfs interacting with a thousand times no. Just make it an animated movie. Don't do this stupid shit, and you're ruining my childhood.
It looks like they're trying to do with the Smurfs what they successfully did with Alvin and the Chipmunks.
Yeah, but the problem is Alvin and the Chipmunks was three characters. This is like an entire race of, and they're doing with Gargamel and all this. You know, it's just no. A thousand times.
Now, do you think they'll get into the often forgotten about factor that Gargamel really wants to eat the Smurfs?
I hope they bring that up.
Just to make it super creepy.
Yeah, I don't know. And I don't even know what to say about this movie. I just wish it would go away and not be made. It just looks really bad.
Agreed.
And I understand it's probably going to have its fan base, but I don't know.
The only chance that this has is that Neil Patrick Harris is in it.
Yeah, but I mean, think about it. It's going to be Captain America's going to be its second week. Cowboys and Aliens in its first week. It's going to get number three if it can.
Oh, I know it has no chance of monetary factors. I'm just talking about movie quality.
Oh yeah, movie quality though. Even with Neil Patrick.
I'm not saying it's going to be good. I'm saying that's the one saving factor at all whatsoever.
Gotcha. Yeah. That's just true.
The other one on my list for July 29th is Crazy Stupid Love.
And what is this? I think I might know.
This is a comedy starring Steve Carell. And basically, his marriage with Julianne Moore is just falling apart. They end up separating. And he bumps into the character played by Ryan Gosling, who's just like a ladies' man and everything. So Steve Carell's like, well, teach me how to interact better with women and all this stuff. So he's kind of like learning more about the trade of picking up women. And meanwhile, Ryan Gosling is like the stereotypical, the ladies man who bumps into the girl that is like the one for him and can kind of break the chain. And that's, she's played by Emma Stone. So there's a lot of stuff going on here. I think it does look good. It's not the like 40-year-old virgin style comedy. It's a better, more sophisticated looking comedy. So I saw the trailer and I thought it was interesting looking. I mean, it won't do fantastically well on the same weekend as Cowboys and Aliens, but girlfriends that drag their boyfriends to this movie will be just fine.
Yeah, exactly. It's got its own audience for that weekend, so, which is good. So it doesn't sound bad. I mean, I like Steve Carell most of the time. I like Emma Stone. Ryan Gosling, don't care either. Not saying he's not a good actor, just So I mean, it could be good. It could be. We'll see. I don't know. I've seen the trailer. I think I do remember that now. So
moving into the last month of summer, in August, on August 5th, is The Changeup, which I don't think is getting a lot of attention, really. But
no, but it, I thought the trailer looked pretty funny.
I mean, this is a classic premise, doing the body swapping thing.
Yeah, they've done it numerous times, but I just think the actors involved make it look
hilarious.
Right,
and for those that don't know, Ryan Reynolds and Jason Bateman end up swapping bodies and kind of living each other's lives. Jason Bateman is what you would expect him to be, kind of the straight-laced family guy, two kids, married
guy.
Ryan Reynolds is the ladies' man, never really holding a job, never really holding a girlfriend, and they end up switching bodies because they just wish it, more or less. And
Aren't they peeing in like a water in a wishing well or something like that?
No, you're right. And the difference here between this and maybe other body swapping comedies is that this is a lot more adult oriented than a lot of those other ones are.
Yes.
So that'll make this slightly different. And like you said, just the actors alone is enough for me to see.
Yeah,
this.
Jason Bateman, Ryan Reynolds look hilarious, and you know, as much as Ryan Reynolds, I think he's his best as we've talked about in the past. And, you know, being the witty comedy guy, and you know, I think it's gonna be funny. Yeah. I don't think it's probably not gonna. It'll do decent, I think, and I think it might be a decent movie. I don't think it's gonna be a game changer in like that genre, but because they've done that concept so many times. But I think, you know, the actors involved make it stand out, I think.
And just to note, since we mentioned Justin Timberlake having two movies, this makes two for Bateman and two for Reynolds this summer as well.
Yep.
So they Hollywood's got their fairly consistent crew lately.
Exactly.
The next one that's on the same day on August 5th is Rise of the Planet of the Apes, which I am not getting good reactions in general.
No, I saw the trailer and I'm like, so wait, they're saying that, you know, I get it, they're supposed to be like a reboot of the entire franchise, but I'm like, so they're saying that we created the apes and that, like, that what? And it just, like, it made no continuity sense to any of the other movies that came before, yet they're rebooting it, and I don't know. I just don't think. I mean, I'm sure it could be good, but
I don't know if this is a note to like, I don't know. I don't know if this is supposed to take place before the other ones. This is set in present day. And
yes, exactly.
It might just lead into Planet of the Apes, the Tim Burton one. But
no, they're saying it's not connected to anything else. That was either saying it's completely rebooting the franchise, not connected to anything. Not to the 1960s ones, not to the Burton one, nothing. Yeah, it's completely rebooting the franchise. So the next movie is going to be The Planet of the Apes. But I always thought that, you know, I didn't get, like, they never, like, alluded to that they were, you know, did they ever, or am I mistaken, did they allude that they were, like, made by the human race before?
I have no clue, you know, honestly. Like,
I don't think so. As much as I remember,
I mean, I don't even find it that strong of a movie franchise to reboot.
No, it's not. I mean, let's honestly, the Burton movie was pretty fucking terrible. Those who've seen it, and the old ones were, you know, Charlton Heston, you know, whatever. Those were their time. But yeah, I don't like the idea of apes running around in human clothing, and I don't know, Dr. Zaius and all that shit. I don't know. I don't know. It's not my thing. I'm sure people will enjoy it, but yeah, the trailer did not strike me as, and the fact that they're trying to play it off as this huge, like, blockbuster, I'm like, yeah, okay,
yeah,
I have like no reaction to it.
Yeah, so it just kind of looks terrible.
Yeah, it's gonna be like the biggest grossing movie of the summer.
No.
I doubt it.
Moving on to August 12th.
August 12th,
30 minutes or less.
This, I think I saw the trailer for this too. What is this?
This is a comedy with Jesse Eisenberg and Aziz Ansari.
Yeah.
Danny McBride's in there. Nick Swardson's in there. Michael Pena's in there. It's a fairly good cast. I just don't think I care.
No, it didn't have anything going for it for me either, but I was like, oh, I know that. Oh, yeah.
Watching it, it just made me think of like, Pineapple Express and,
yeah, other movies
Super
that were
bad.
People are,
and,
yeah,
I don't know.
Exactly.
Like, I hated both of those movies too.
Oh, did you
I hated
hate
them? I hated Superbad.
I hated
Pineapple Express.
How can you hate Superbad? Superbad is fantastic. How can you hate that?
I did
movie?
Not.
You're the only person I've ever met in my life that's thinking Superbad. We're gonna get into it. We're gonna have a giant war some week. We're gonna put a podium up and everything, and we're gonna. No.
Yeah, I didn't care for it, and this just feels like those to me. So I'm just like, eh, whatever.
I understand. I didn't really like Pineapple Express at all. Where other people were like, that's fucking hilarious. And I was like, really? I just kind of sat there and was like, okay, it's a stoner comedy. It's not even funny. So Even if you were stoned, I don't think it'd be funny.
The other one here is Final Destination 5, and I am just shocked that they're still coming because I was pretty sure the last one that I believe was just called The Final Destination.
The Final, and it was The Final Destination.
Was
so
supposed to be the last one.
Well, obviously, it made enough money, so they're like, we need to make it. And come on, how many different ways we can kill people? We can keep coming up with new ways. And, you know, that was, you know, I'll be honest, I remember the first one, seeing it in the theater, and it was okay. I remember seeing the 3D one. Was it the third one that was in 3D? One of them was in 3D, and it was like, okay, that's kind of cute, because you can do 3D deaths. Now it's just getting ridiculous. And it's going to be some sort of CW gene pool that's in there, much young actresses and actors that are nothing going for them. And, oh, wow, they're all going to get killed.
Yeah,
yay.
I don't need to watch another movie that's just about creative ways for people to die.
It's pretty much just, okay, we know it's a sure thing. Guys will bring their girlfriends to this movie so they can make out. She'll be scared, and they'll make out with them. Let's be honest. It's what these movies are made for, and I just don't care at this point in my life, so whatever.
Ditto.
Yeah.
August 19th. There is a remake of Fright Night.
See, I didn't even know about this until recently. It's gone way under my radar, and I don't even really remember the original Fright Night.
I don't at all.
Vaguely, I remember. I guess it was one of those big horror things, but I was into horror movies, but I just don't even remember Fright Night, and I don't really have any caring about the reboot or remake.
I mean, it looks conceptually, it looks fairly good, but let's remember it's also a reboot, a remake.
Yeah.
So.
Yes.
Colin Farrell looks great for the part he's in. Anton Yelchin, who's the lead in the movie, people might not know the name necessarily. He also played Charlie Bartlett in that movie, as well as playing Chekhov in the Star Trek.
So,
and he's a really good actor, I think.
Yeah. This is also the second movie for Colin Farrell this summer.
True.
So another twofer.
True.
So.
And this one's a lot more towards his normal one. In the Horrible Bosses one, he has a horrible comb over and everything. And playing something a little different.
Trying to make his return after many years of absence. Because he's a fuck up.
The other one on this day that'll probably do much better than Fright Night is Conan the Barbarian.
Yes, Conan has returned.
So we have two remakes on the same day.
Is not Arnold with his giant.
It's not Arnold.
He's too.
All I heard is in the third act of the movie, Conan reveals to the woman that he has another child by someone who is cleaning up his cave or something.
I was just gonna make the joke. I'm too busy impregnating my maid. Oh my god! But no, honestly, this guy. I guess my friend Mike Boyd is a really big Robert E. Howard fan, like the original Conan stories, and he says that this Conan looks more like the original that Robert E. Howard had envisioned, in the old novels. And so it's a European actor, and this whole movie was made in Europe. It's a European director and everything. It's a remake, but they're not even remaking the story from the first one. It's a completely new story. The villain is a completely made up new villain. They didn't take a villain from the novels. So, it looks pretty good though. I mean, it for what it is for Conan the Barbarian, you know what you're getting when you see the title. But I think it looks pretty good for what – I don't know how good it's going to do, but it looks pretty decent. I mean, it doesn't look like it's going to blow me away, and I'll be like, oh, I want to buy that movie when it comes out. But, it's Conan, and I think it's got to be better than Conan the Destroyer, which was a fucking terrible movie.
Well, yeah, it looks fairly decent. I mean, on one front, they've succeeded in one thing already, and that's making Rose McGowan look unattractive. So
– I forgot about that. And I remember originally she was supposed to be playing Red Sonja in a Red Sonja remake. And
No, they've kind of passed. And I think they're still planning on doing it, but I don't know who's being looked at for that.
But I could totally see her as – I could have seen her as Red Sonja.
Well, and the main reason I think that was happening is because Robert Rodriguez was in charge of the project. Yeah.
Yes.
And they were a couple at the time. Yeah. And
now they're done. So, exactly. It's not going to happen. But, she does look quite unattractive in the as she's supposed to look like.
Yeah, which is a shame. Yeah. Because she's so the opposite. August 26th. Yeah. It's not my genre, as I've said before, but the horror movie Don't Be Afraid of the Dark.
I don't even know. I didn't even hear
the synopsis is very short. It says a young girl sent to live with her father and his new girlfriend discovers creatures in her new home who want to claim her as one of their own.
The people under the stairs? No, I'm joking. I have no idea. That sounds kind of
but
stupid,
looking
but okay.
At the cast list, Katie Holmes and Guy Pearce.
Really? All right, I was not expecting
Me neither,
that.
Because I've seen a what trailer for this, like a little teaser trailer, yeah. and neither of them were in it. It was literally just the girl sitting on the bed, and she's under her covers, yeah, and she hears something and then like creeps over it. And lifts it up, and, oh, there's a monster there yelling something. I've never seen that happen in a horror movie before.
Is this gonna be like Little Monsters with Howie Mandel? Are they gonna go under the bed? And, sorry.
Well,
no, probably no one remembers that movie.
It'll be a mix
you,
between but, that and like the people under the stairs.
Yeah, exactly. But So Tom Cruise let Katie Holmes out of her cage and let her act again? Because I haven't seen her in a movie since Batman Begins, I think. So, or no,
there
might have
been. Well, yeah, there was the Mad Money where she decided not to be in the Dark Knight and do that instead.
God, but yeah, this does not seem to be up my alley. I don't know. I'm an old school horror fan. Like, if it's like, I like the old like Nightmare on Elm Street and stuff, but all this new crap. I don't. They've done, like you said, they've done everything. Nothing's gonna scare me, and it's not gonna. I don't care. Oh no, there's.
Well, yeah, every horror movie now is either a teeny bopper horror comedy or it's some Americanized version of a Japanese horror movie. And both styles are like, so easy to pick out and played out that they just suck.
Yeah, everything's so played out. It's like all the remakes, you know, the new Nightmare was terrible, the new Friday the 13th. Like, come on. Like, the horror genre should be so easy, and it's like, it's just bad. It's like, it's bad when Walking Dead is the best thing in your horror genre, and that's a freaking TV show. But, and it's not even that horror. But, all right, sorry.
Lastly, to close out the summer movies is a movie called The Debt.
The Debt is
an espionage movie. Basically, there are three Mossad secret agents sent in to go and get a Nazi war criminal, kind of abduct him and take him back to their place of origin. So they go and kidnap him, and that's all taking place in one timeline in around like 1966. Then it jumps forward into 1997. And there is the same three agents kind of say that things should have gotten handled better, or there was some untied thing, things that need to be tied up. So you have the younger people and then their older counterparts all kind of taking the same espionage thing through over a course of like 30, 40 years or something. So you have in the younger group, the most notable name there is Sam Worthington. And then you jump up to the older group and the most notable name. Well, actually, there's two fairly notable names. Tom Wilkinson, who was in Batman Begins as Falcone.
Yep.
And then Helen Mirren as the older one there. So I think it looks really cool. It's one of those things that's really tough to explain. You kind of have to watch the trailer and really get a good sense of it. But after watching the trailer, I thought it looked really good.
Interesting. So, question for you. What do you think is going to... Two questions for you. What is going to be the biggest moneymaker of the summer overall, and which one do you think is going to be the best movie of the summer overall? And I'm talking all movies, all genres together.
The first one, I think, is very easy as far as the biggest moneymaker. Although, you know what? Mm-hmm. It's going to be tough. It's going to be either, and I hate to say this, it's going to be either Transformers Dark of the Moon, or it's going to be Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows. Those are the two, which I'm going outside the superhero genre, but...
No, I agree with you, actually. I think you're completely
those
on
Those two,
track.
I think, have the potential to earn the most money. I think the best movie, as far as a movie goes, I want it to be like X-Men or Green Lantern or Captain America or something like that, but I really think the best movie of the summer will be Super 8.
Okay, interesting. I like that. My thing is, I say Transformers... Harry Potter or Captain America are all going to be, but I think Captain America has an uphill battle. But I think I think Captain America is going to do the highest out of the superhero films. But I might be wrong with X-Men, so we'll see. I think best movie. That's going to be tough. It's tough for me to pick. I don't know. I think, like I said, I want it to be Captain America, but I don't know if that's going to happen. I think Super 8 might be pretty close with me too. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I mean, I want it to be Captain America or Green Lantern. I really, really do.
Yeah. I hope it is one of those, but yeah, if not, I have a feeling Super 8 is going to be pretty freaking good. So yeah. The sad part is like, there's really no movies in August that I'm like, Conan might be okay or the change it, but there's nothing that I like need to see. Like, August doesn't have that must see big blockbuster.
Well, it's a good time to play catch up because at that point, so many movies from the first half of the year will be on DVD.
That's what I was going to say. I think this is going to be, I may be wrong, but I'm going to guess with just the amount of big summer books. I think this might be the biggest grossing summer of all time. Just with the amount of, you know, you got X-Men, Green Lantern, Transformers, Harry Potter, Captain America.
And then
you know,
factor in that at
aliens.
Least half of them are in 3D.
Exactly. Easily going to be the biggest summer blockbuster movie season ever. I'm saying it right now, obviously. I think it's going to be. So
now that we've gone over our movies that we're interested in and what we're looking forward to, I'm going to reiterate the poll question, which is, what summer movie are you most looking forward to? Please send your answer to podcast@thegeekgeneration.com or @geekgeneration on Twitter. As we move out,
Brian's going to get on his pedestal for a minute.
Go ahead.
Listen, if you have taken the time to listen to this podcast, and I know you do because we know who listens, and if you've listened to my other podcasts, which I know you do, my Graphically Speaking one, plug, please take the time to, you know, answer. We have a poll question. It takes like a fraction of a minute. You can take a minute to write down, type a movie in. Even just type it in. You don't even have to explain it. Just if you don't even feel like explaining it, just send it. We'd love to hear why you want it, but you know, if every person who listens to this sent it in, we'd have a lot of listener emails. So please, for the love of God, send it in. And if you don't want to hear this, then you can blame me because I'm the one who's saying it. So that was my rant. End rant. I'm getting.
Well, no, that's fine. I do wish we had more audience participation because it really, if people do listen to the show and do enjoy the show, I really have no indication as to whether people are. I mean, I can see the ratings, but I have no indication as to whether people are actively participating unless they write in one form or another. And that's one of the main reasons.
Do you hate us? Do you like us? Do you want to kill us? Do you want to have our firstborn child? Let us know.
Even just writing in to say anything lets me know that you're out there listening and care enough to write in.
Exactly.
And if you don't care enough to write in, then maybe that's our problem.
That might be. So that's my thing too. You know, it goes for my podcast too. Brian@thegeekgeneration.com. You know, anything. Send me something so I know that you're out there. I did get a little bit of feedback from the Macho Man stuff when I asked. So that was good. But other than that, it's like, you know, send stuff.
Yeah.
Send them.
I asked for a final thought or something you'd like to plug, but I'm a little afraid now.
I'm riled up now. My Macho Man tribute podcast, I know it's a comic book podcast, my show, but we're going a little off the thing because Macho Man was a big part of my life. But listen to that. It's up, and it's pretty damn good, I think. Plus, it's got Macho Man rapping. You can't go wrong
with
that. So that's up. You can't. That's up on the site and should be another episode either this week or next week, graphically speaking, depending on how busy I am. I don't know. But and we also I recently opened the Graphically Speaking Twitter account, which is @GraphicSpeaking. So follow me, please, if you would like to, because I'd like you to. And that's all I have to say.
Well, then, as always, I ask you to please share the show on Facebook and Twitter and get the word out to your friends if you do like it. Also, you can go to thegeekgeneration.com to see any of the stories we talked about today. If you are going there, you might as well hit the button on the side to subscribe to this show in iTunes because, I mean, it's nice. I appreciate your traffic on the site. But if you want the show delivered right to you, iTunes is the way to do it.
Yes.
While you are in iTunes, please rate the show and write a review. I think we currently have 6 reviews written there. And as I've mentioned before, once we get up to 10, I will release the Geek Generation and the Geek Generation podcast iPhone and iPod wallpapers. There is also a donation button on the side. Please send us money. If you have any questions, comments, insults, or topics you'd like us to discuss on a future episode, please send those to podcast@thegeekgeneration.com or @geekgeneration on Twitter. If you'd like to submit an article to the site or an audio file to this show, you can do so @guest@thegeekgeneration.com. And if you'd like to follow us on Twitter, I'm @TheNightAngel and Brian's @XanderHarris. As always, the show theme is provided by Machiné Supremacy. A link to their site is also on our site. So wrapping up the big summer movie preview episode, episode 38, we will see you guys next week. Later.
Peace.